The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. And I'll invite you all to pull out your yellow insert and participate in the reading of the Gospel with me. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus.
"Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?"
He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?"
"He answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.'"
And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite. When he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?"
"He said, 'One.'"
Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you,
Lord.
Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What comes into your mind and heart when you hear this familiar parable? For me, I have memories that go all the way back to Sunday school, hearing this parable at different places and points in my life. When I was a little child, the answers always seemed so simple. Well, I just won't be like the priest and the Levite. I'll be like the Good Samaritan. And I don't doubt that there's some part of that question and answer that led me to seminary, that leads us all vocationally as Christians. We want to be the ones who go and show mercy. And yet, the thing about this parable is it's so filled with gospel, and yet it catches me time and time again as law, as plain out law. Some of you have been volunteering in the church office at times when a traveler comes through wanting money. And we don't do that here. We give to CCHN and other organizations in the community that help people with rent and utilities. We feed the hungry here. We always have food, and we don't ask questions at our food pantry, but we don't give out money. And still, every time somebody comes into the church office with a story, and they may have the most fixed pupils and the most unlikely story, But when they leave empty-handed, I walk away from that encounter going, was I the priest or the Levite then? Because even though I didn't fill the need he expressed, I didn't fill any other need either. And it catches me as law. And I've been doing this pastor thing for a long time. Our first congregation, our parish house was as close as Bankston Hall to the church. And the church was very visible from I-94. And it was 100 miles between towns out there in North Dakota. And Vince and I had this thing. If somebody we didn't know came knocking at the door asking for the pastor, it was the one who didn't answer the door. Is the pastor home? Let me get her. Is the pastor home? Let me get him. And there's this one time, this car was parked in front of our house, in front of the church, and people came to the door and they said, my car is broken down. And we thought, well, how convenient that it's broken down 6 blocks away from Interstate's exit in front of our house. But Vince goes out to help them. And he says, well, here's your first problem. The spark plugs are on the front seat. Yeah, that's an old one. You pull out the spark plugs, your car's not going to start. Pull them out in front of the pastor's house. They have to help. I remember people calling me in Racine, Wisconsin. They'd call the church because we had one of the biggest ads in the Yellow Pages. And they'd say, I need money. And I would say, I can't give it to you. And they'd say, well, you're not very Christian. Slam. It's hard. You know, I think we come together as a people of faith because we want to do kind things, we want to do good things. And certainly I know each of you who have hearts that are that big. I remember, you know, we taught our own kids that we lived by what we proclaimed. And so, as soon as my daughter moved out of our house, she said, Mom, my room is empty. There's this homeless man I just met. You have room for him now? And we took him in. He stayed with us for 3 months. But we couldn't help them all. We couldn't fix them all. And so, we come to this story of the Good Samaritan. And the young man says, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asks him the question back, what have you learned? Well, love God more than anything, love my neighbor as myself. And Jesus says, you're right, you do that, you'll live. It's a trap, boy. None of us have ever been able to love our neighbor as ourselves. None of us have ever been able to love God more than anything. And we hear the story that Jesus goes on to tell us. There's this one religious guy that walks past somebody who is lying beaten and bloody at the side of the road, and the religious guy just keeps walking by. And there's another religious guy who comes across someone beaten and bloodied at the side of the road, and he just keeps walking by. And then there's this foreigner. This one we don't expect any help from. This one that we wouldn't even help if he was at the side of the road. It would make us unclean, unfit to serve God ourselves. He binds up the wounds. He takes him for help. He pays for his care. Who was the neighbor This is a most unusual story. I've been wrestling with it for a lifetime. Because it points a finger at organized religion. It points a finger at all the self-righteous stuff that's inside of us. All the stuff that says, I'm not as much of a sinner as that person. And yet, look at ourselves, our community, our country. You know, when the priest and Levite just walk past yet another campus shooting, who's going to show up next? When a priest and a Levite walk past a hospital that's run by Doctors Without Borders, that's just been bombed by our own military. When the priest and the Levite walk by, who's going to show up next? When we ourselves are wounded, when our brothers and sisters are treated miserably, when the poor are cast even further out, and the priest and the Levite just walk past, who's going to come by next? When we are that wounded one, we pray it's not going to be the priest and the Levite, right? But what we know is when we have been the wounded ones, when we've been cast out, when we've been harmed, when we've been hurt, when we've been at our lowest, it's not the priest and the Levite that we look for. It's Jesus. And Jesus always shows up. In our deepest grief, Jesus always shows up. In our deepest woundedness, Jesus always shows up. When we've been betrayed, Jesus is there. When we've sinned, and we know we don't stand right with God, Jesus is there, interceding for us, dying on the cross for us while we were still sinners. Because Jesus is the Good Samaritan. Jesus is the one who sees the wounded, the bloodied, the beaten by the roadside. And Jesus says, come with me. I will bind up your wounds. I will bring you to wholeness. And it is because he comes to us in our brokenness, and because he comes to us when we are in need of forgiveness and says, I forgive you. You're my child. I love you. I want you to be whole. We find our wholeness in Christ. And when we find that wholeness in Christ, then we want to be like Christ. Not to earn our salvation, but because we are so very grateful. People of God, in your own broken places, Christ is with you. In your questions, in your wonderings, in your doubts, Christ is with you and will always be. And if you know that you've been lifted up by that amazing, amazing grace, then share it. Then be the one to go and do likewise. May the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.